tonight's work.
Bez Hashem, we're beginning Parshas Vayeshev. Today is, in English, it's the 19th of December 2016. And tonight will be Chof Kislev. We are 5 days away from Chanukah. I would like to combine today's shiur with a little bit of a personal insight of the Parsha and combine it with the laws and the history of Chanukah, because after all, Mitzoy Shabbos is beginning Chanukah, begins the holiday of Chanukah, and if we have a better understanding of Chanukah and some of its laws, we would be able to perform the mitzvahs appropriately. So now, it's an interesting thing to note that Parshas Vayeshev always falls out before Chanukah. And Parshas Miketz and Vayigash are either on Chanukah, if there are two Shabbosos, then one is Vayigash, one is Miketz, and the other one is Vayigash, or they shuffle between either or, right? Miketz or Vayigash. But Parshas Vayeshev is always before Chanukah. And I was thinking about this, and I feel that there is a hidden message behind the story of Chanukah, that Parshas Vayeshev has something in it. And I wanted to share this with you. Let us start the Parsha, and we'll talk about it. Vayeshev Yaakov Beretz Mekori Ovid Be'eretz Kanaan. Yaakov finally settled in the land where his father sojourned, in the land of Canaan. The Pasuk continues, Pasuk Beis, Ela Tovus Yaakov, Yosef. These are the chronicles of Yaakov. Yosef ben Shva Esrei Shana. Yosef was 17 years of age. Hoya Roa Es Echa Batzon. He would shepherd with his brothers, with the sheep. Hunar as Bnei Bila as Bnei Zilpan. He was friendly with the sons of Bila and the sons of Zilpa. Neshei Aviv, the wives of his father. Vayava Yosef as the Basam Ra El Avihim. And Yosef brought bad reports to their father about the brothers. And then the Torah tells us how Yisrael, referring to Yaakov, loved Yosef more than the other brothers because he was a ben zekunim, he was a child of his old age. He taught him all of the Torah as a result of his love that he learned of in Shem Ve'eva for 14 years. Torah tells us how he went ahead and showed his love even further by producing the Kisonas Pasim, this coat of many colors. And another reason why he loved him so much is that he was the son of his beloved wife Rachel, who passed away. So all this combined made Yosef exclusive. And what aggravated the brothers is that he would speak, and it's hard to say the word Lashon Hara as the way you and I would use the term, but on the level of the tzaddikim, of the shvatim, it was a bad report about the brother. And it wasn't something outright bad that you would say that they did something that you and I would call bad. It was something that appeared to be bad, but they didn't do anything wrong. And there, this would, an example, for example, they would not shecht an animal that was called a ben pikuah. A ben pikuah is an animal that was found, as a baby animal, that was found in the mother of an animal that was slaughtered.
And the fetus.
And the halacha is that if you shechted the mother, then the animal that is still in the mother's womb is not required, does not require shechita. Now, he saw this and he said to his father, they're not eating shechita, they're eating treif, because they killed the animal without shechita. Hmm. So, there's a lot you can discuss over here. Then why did the brother do something that appeared that's wrong? That's a discussion in itself, but I don't want to get into that. I want to get into the fact that on the level of Yosef, the Torah actually labels his report as dibosom ra elavia. It was bad reports. And Yaakov chastised his children until they exonerated themselves to say that we didn't do anything wrong. But this seemed to play.
Why did Yaakov ask him to go?
Oh, one second. That's a separate thing. But let's just get the picture.
But the difficulty I have is why. Why did Yaakov show? I mean, I understand the explanation why Yaakov showed favoritism, but would you favor one child over another? Doesn't that automatically stir the pot?
The Meforshim, there are Meforshim that do speak about that, and it's something that we have to.
Unless it was part of
no,
the,
well, let's
the,
put it this
the,
way.
The,
this is this
proceeding.
Is
the prophecy.
This is definitely a question, because Yaakov, with his tremendous understanding of raising a family, raising a holy family, why would he do something like this that would inspire a rift in the family? See, this is a question that I think the commentaries deal with. This is not an easy question over here. But come what may, the facts are being, and maybe this could be a certain answer to the question, is that he was like, in reference to the other children, like the baby of the family. You know, the baby of the family, you don't make such a big deal over when I show favoritism to the baby, right? It's like there's a certain separation between the other children and this. But Meforshim explained that there was a problem, that the brothers were very seriously concerned, is that the favoritism wasn't on the level that you and I would experience, oh, he's showing favoritism to another child. Come on, that's kind of petty way of thinking when we say Yaakov Avinu shows favoritism and therefore the children reacted negatively and they created a whole crisis. That would be very petty and maybe even juvenile to the extent to say this was the discussion between the Shvatim and Yaakov, and this bothered the Shvatim. It would reduce their level immeasurably. But that's not what happened.
But if they were so righteous, the brothers,
yes,
then, but they hated him. Hate is a harsh word.
Hate, it's very harsh.
And evil talk is harsh too.
It's harsh. But they expressed their anger and their hate because of the following reason. I didn't get to it. They were very concerned that Yaakov Avinu was following a certain pattern that would exclude the Shvatim from being part of the Shiftei Kah, upon the holy tribe that made the foundation of Klal Yisrael. Now let me explain that. They went back to Avram Avinu. Avram had two children, Yitzchak and Yishmael. Yitzchak was chosen, and Yishmael was out. He's no longer, he was not the chosen one. Yitzchak had two children, Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov was chosen, and Esav was out. Yaakov has 12 sons, and all of a sudden he's showing favoritism to one, to Yosef. He says, what's going on here? Is that the pattern? But the pattern is not correct, because they all had divine inspiration to know that Klal Yisrael had to come from every one of the Shvatim, 12.
Didn't the mothers tell them that?
What do you mean by that?
Leah would have told them that the that they had she had their share of the biggest share of the tribes because they had prophecy.
No, but again, they knew that Klal Yisrael, the Jewish nation, had to come from 12, and now they saw a dangerous pattern continuing, which would exclude the Shvatim from their own prophecy or divine inspiration that they knew had to be. So they almost looked at Yosef as a perpetrator. He's trying to block us out of Klal Yisrael, the way Yishmael was excluded, the way Esav was excluded, but we know that we are part of it. And somehow it seems to fit into the play.
Why would they be worried if they know there's going to be 12? Unless Yaakov.
Because
has
they
sons.
Knew they were from the 12. They knew that Yaakov had 12.
Yeah, so they're not going to be excluded.
But that's what Yaakov seemed to be showing.
Okay, but the 12 shouldn't have been threatened by him. Because,
that's what I'm saying.
Because they would have known that all 12 tribes have to be from a divine inspiration. 12 tribes have to come. Israel has to come from these 12 tribes, Joseph included. So if they thought that way, why did they look at him as such a threat? And he would have to get rid of him, and then they would have then 11 tribes. Where is a 12th tribe going to come from?
Well, I didn't think about that. That's an excellent question, Poe. Let's go back to the beginning of the split. The split where the brothers and Yosef are at the verge of ostracizing him to be able to let the prophecy come true, at least through the 11. I never thought about that, which is true. But the bottom line is, if Yaakov put his stamp of approval that Yosef is supposed to be the ancestor of Klal Yisrael, and the rest of the Shvatim not, they consider that a mortal threat to the Jewish future, to the destiny of Am Yisrael. And therefore, so much so, that they made a Beis Din, as the Mefarshim explained, and a Paskin that is Chayav Misa. He was supposed to be put to death because he is considered in Hebrew a rodef, a person who pursues somebody in trying to kill him. When the law is that if someone pursues somebody, he's a threat, and you're allowed to kill that person because he's on his way to kill you. There is a halacha like that. Not only that, they and this is also mind-boggling, and I don't quite understand it entirely, but in their Shavua, in their oath, and their promise of keeping this a secret, they included God in their oath. So this is, again, very much beyond me, but whatever it was, there was a deep sense of concern for the Jewish future. And they felt that Yosef was an adversary. And they had to, therefore, come to terms with this position over here. What I am on to take note, so we know the story. The story is that he ended up, as Yaakov continued to pour on more covered, more honor, more emphasis on Yosef, the youngest, practically, right? Then comes the dreams, where Yosef dreams the dream of 11 bundles bowing down to him, and he had to get the attention of his brothers, which only stoked the fire to make them more upset. Now he's trying to become a king. And then the second dream, where the 11 stars and the sun and the moon bow down to him.
That's the part that bothers me. Because
the moon would have been Rachel.
So how can he?
So, but
that
but,
bothered Yaakov also.
But Rashi explains that Yaakov knew it would be Bilhah that would replace Rachel, because Bilhah was the maidservant of Rachel. Mm-hmm. That's how it came out. Being that the case, This was a full blown up scenario that exploded into a very serious, serious conflict where they had to get rid of him in a way that you and I would have never dreamed of. But this is the story that took place. And it started with the Lashon Hara. The Lashon Hara with Dibasim Ra El Avihim.
So Yosef is Lashon Hara.
Yosef is Lashon Hara.
Well, I think they were also very jealous of him too, because I think they knew.
Of course, the Torah said that they were. Later on, the Torah says
Joseph was he was more spiritually endowed than they were. But, and the father recognizes that, because the coat of many colors, you could say, are spiritual colors and lights. With his spirit.
Okay.
I think that's what the coat was.
I think it could be.
But
yeah.
Again, why did Yaakov send Yosef to do Lashon Hara? Because he asked him to bring me the, tell me what's going on.
No. When he sent him to find out how the brothers are doing with their sheep, since they didn't come home yet, that was not Lashon Hara to find out. And the Lashon Hara, what we're referring to, are the incidents that preceded this whole story that we're talking about now, about him ending up being sold, that preceded, that instigated this whole This whole episode of Yosef being sold started with a Dibasim Ra, which was ignited into a flame, so to say, by Yaakov showing so much emphasis on making Yosef special because he was the son of Rachel and because he was a Ben Zekunim, the son of his old age and so forth, and with the coat and all that. Okay, that made it all flare up, and then finally they came to a point that this child is going to drive all of us out of Klal Yisrael. That was the story. Now what I want to glean from the Parsha, and I said it's my insight and I'm not sure if it's correct, but you know, everybody can look at the Torah as a kaleidoscope. Mm-hmm. When you look at it from a position, I said Vayeshev is always before Hanukkah. Miketz and Vayigash are on Hanukkah. This preceded this episode of Hanukkah. The Hanukkah is a story that took place during the second Beis Hamikdash. And we all know basically the story of Hanukkah, where the Greeks, the Syrian Greeks, were in charge, and they ended up oppressing the Jewish people. And the success story of how they succeeded in oppressing the Jewish people in such a arrogant and oppressive way was because of the Lashon Hara that the Jewish brethren spoke about themselves, about each other. Because it was at a time where the Jewish people were kind of split into two groups. One was called the Pirushim, the very religious, and the other group were less committed, and they end up becoming misyavnim. They end up assimilated Greek. The Jewish people that were similar to become Greek, they were called misyavnim. And our greatest—it's funny to say, and it's hard to say—our greatest adversaries were our Jewish brothers, who gave the information to Greek officers and to the Greek soldiers, and no less than Antiochus, the king himself, which helped them succeed in making decrees and causing tremendous hardships. And they had the power with the Greek authority and soldiers to station groups of soldiers in certain places to attack from people and to look out and look for them in their caves and to do all sorts of terrible things.
Well, they did that in the Second World War too. The Jews were snitching on others.
Okay, that's true. But
that was life and death.
But if you look at the beginning of this parsha,
common problem.
That is true. But I want to focus where this parsha precedes the story of Hanukkah.
Well, if you look at the beginning of it,
yes,
the title of it is Vayeshev, and it starts talking about Yaakov. And how, and I guess some of the interpretations I read about Vayeshev is that he settled and he rested peacefully,
right,
and everything was content. And even if you go on, it says that they're grazing herd, and
right,
everything was peaceful and everything was. But here again, it all of a sudden it flips.
So what I'm trying to tell you as an insight to the story of Hanukkah is that had the Jewish people been united and not been guilty of the Lashon Hara that has been so rampant in the time of Hanukkah, who knows of all of the atrocities, all the terrible things, the murders, the outright killing of children, and there are stories told about that the people ran into caves because they didn't want to stop learning and they didn't want to stop observing Shabbos, and one story is that the Greek soldiers found them in the cave and they said, come out and start becoming Greek, and they says, no, we won't. They said, if you don't, we will block the hole of the cave with branches and we'll light it and you'll suffocate. And that's what they did. And there are many stories told about the Mesivas Nefesh. They're willing to give their lives up for the sake of the Almighty. And this is part of the story where it was fueled, this terrible, terrible oppression was fueled by Jews, with the people speaking Lashon Hara on Jews. And I wonder if the Parsha, passage Vayeshev, where Yosef is a symbol for the Jewish people, and I say as the symbol for the Jewish people because the Chofetz Chaim explains that the reason why the Torah begins with the words, Ela told us Yaakov Yosef, these are the children of Yaakov, this says Yosef ben Shvayas Reishona, 17 years, is that the life of Yaakov was so resembled in the life of Yosef, or vice versa, the life of Yosef was so mirrored in the life of Yaakov. Yaakov had troubles from the beginning, and Yosef had troubles from the beginning. Yaakov had a brother that hated him. Here Yosef had brothers that hated him. You understand?
Yeah.
Yaakov had to flee, had to go to Haran, had to escape Esav, right? In a way, Yosef was sold to Mitzrayim, he was separated from his brothers. I mean, there's so much going on over here. And the truth of the matter is, Yosef is a symbol for the Jewish people. They're going to Golos. They're always going to have trouble. They're going to go through hardships. At the end of the day, will be Mashiach. At the end of the day, like Yosef, overnight he became viceroy. Overnight he became a king, which is a symbol that Jewish people ultimately will snap out of this gullus, out of the diaspora, and they'll end up seeing the day of glory. But a great person that makes a small mistake makes a mistake that could be eternal. I look at a mistake so small, you can see, let's say, a small fracture in the foundation. But it's so small that you can't even see it with the naked eye. But there's a fracture in the stone foundation. You know when you begin to see it really? When you start building many stories higher, because the weight of the structure is compounded on that foundation, and suddenly the crack begins to become visible. And then the higher you go, the higher it goes, and then the foundation becomes wider, the split becomes wider and wider. And perhaps, I'm saying perhaps, again it's my insight, perhaps it revealed itself at the time of Hanukkah.
Well, it's the light.
But it's going generations later. Perhaps that Lashon Hara kept on. Maybe. And perhaps that's what we have with the story of Hanukkah.
Is there any significance, out of curiosity,
yes,
the name Yaakov changes to Yisrael in Pasuk Gimel?
Well, the answer to that is, there is significance. Yaakov is used when we talk about him on the lower level.
Struggling.
Yisrael, we lose it on when he's already on a higher level. And there it's used back and forth. It's used when the subject requires it. When we want to talk about on a higher level of Yaakov, we refer to Yaakov as Yisrael.
You should check if you have the key.
All right, you understand? This is something that is very common. So as we are moving ahead, so my thought on this would mean that the story of Hanukkah really may have had a basis to a certain degree with the Shvatim, where all this played a certain eternal role in the story of Hanukkah, perhaps, where we say Maisa Ovoi Simin LaBonim, the deeds of our fathers are a reflection on the children later to be, and perhaps this is the significant message of this week's parasha. What I would like to do now, what I would like to spend a few minutes actually talking about Hanukkah, and perhaps having a few questions that you want to relate or ask me about the observance of Hanukkah, where I think this would be very apropos for tonight's lesson. As I said, that we're beginning that this coming Motzoi Shabbos begins the first day of Hanukkah.